The reviews are in, and they're going to tell you what they are. I'm Rob Steele, who's not really in this episode because of the holidays. I didn't see much of anything, but that's Todd Vandenberg. And for a second consecutive show, that's two this year, which makes his three commitment for the year. Ooh, Lee Vowell, we want you for more than three episodes.
Hey, my contract is my contract. I got a Draper-type contract. You're lucky to have me.
You and Brock Lesnar, man. Holy cow. Anyway, who wants to start? Because I know that the reason I'm not here for that is another reason. You guys have four movies between the two of you.
We do have four movies between the two of us. I'll start with Crazy Rich Asians, because that's probably the oldest film we'll talk about here. Crazy Rich Asians, a big, big phenomenon. It is a major hit among romantic comedies. The only reason that that's a big story is because it's an Asian cast. Imagine that, Asian actors playing Asian characters. What a breakthrough concept. Rob had mentioned the box office a couple episodes ago because it was kind of interesting that it premiered in China and took a huge nosedive, didn't do well at all. And when I watched it, I thought, oh, maybe I've identified the reason for that. There's a scene early on, like maybe 6 or 7 minutes into it, where some ladies are sitting around and they're discussing the Bible. And that's probably not a cool thing in China at this point, and hasn't been for several decades. So I think perhaps that might be part of the reason that it didn't do well in China, is just that. And it's not like religion is a major aspect of the film, but it hits pretty early and is like, they probably didn't appreciate that. The film, though, if you haven't seen it, you will really appreciate it. Very funny, great performances, excellent romance, has the usual twists that you will expect, and they kind of play out the way that you will expect, but getting there is so much fun. Really, really fun movie. It's nice to see a movie that's not set in New York or Chicago or Vancouver, which almost every movie is set in because it's cheaper there. In Singapore, so you get to see a lot of things that you've never seen on the screen before if you're the typical American moviegoer. It looks fabulous, really funny, nice moments of drama. Highly recommend Crazy Rich Asians. I just saw it actually like 3 days ago. I'm ready to see it again because it's just a really fun movie.
And it's getting a lot of buzz for Best Picture too, which is good. It's nice to have a comedy involved in that conversation.
Yeah, definitely rare for that thing. I think the only reason for that, honestly, is because we've got up to 10 nominees now instead of 5. I don't think it's one of the 5 best pictures of the year. And just thinking of, did the picture accomplish what it set out to do? And yes, it did. But I think there are easily 5 other pictures that did that even better. But that doesn't mean I don't recommend it. It's a really good movie, really fun movie.
As long as Holmes and Watson is not nominated, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. Yes, the Academy will survive. Maybe they can host the Oscars. That would be funnier than that movie.
That actually might be okay. I can see him in that kind of role as far as, I mean, John C. Reilly's great. He can be a very good actor, but
yeah,
the other guy. But yeah, it might be fun to watch them host the show. At least it'd be fun. And they would sing.
That's true. They would.
Is that a segue to one of your movies?
Sure. Yeah, I'll do one of the movies I have is called Mary Poppins Returns, which is directed by Rob Marshall, who I've never been a huge fan of. I don't dislike him. I just don't find a lot of layers to his film. They don't stick with me emotionally. And I know he did Chicago and it was Best Picture, I think, or something like that. And shouldn't have been, but that's a story for another day. But he did direct Mary Poppins Returns. It's a fun film. It's, you know, it's a family film. It's, I think it's PG. It is what it sets out to be, which is just a very Disney-like feel to a film. It's Emily Blunt plays Mary Poppins. She's great. I mean, when is Emily Blunt not great? She's one of those actresses, again, who needs to be seen more, I think. Lin-Manuel Miranda shows up. He plays the Alexander Hamilton, which doesn't really fit. And then Ben Whishaw, last part up, he is in the film, but he's not Alexander Hamilton. Ben Whishaw is really the story's about him and the kids, and he's losing his house, and there's the bank is trying to take the house from him for false reasons, and so Mary Poppins comes in and makes the children happy. It's funny because when I was watching the film, she doesn't really, it's kind of like it's almost like Raiders of the Lost Ark, where if you take out Indiana Jones, the film still does, you know, he's just a character. It doesn't really change the film if you think about it in a way, but as strange as that sounds, but with Mary Poppins, she's really there just as moral support, and she doesn't really change anything. She doesn't change the arc of the story because Ben Whishaw actually finds what he's supposed to find on his own and is able to I'm going to give this away. Keep his house at the end. And the funny thing is the guy who runs the bank is at the end is really Dick Van Dyke. That's who it is. So he actually has a role in this film, and he's good in it. He's not in it a ton, but he's good in it. But it's a fun film. Take the kids to see it. You won't be disappointed. Is it one of these films that's like, this is the best picture of 2018? To me, it's not even close, but it's still well made. I mean, it's Rob Marshall doesn't make bad, unglossy films. It's still pretty to look at, and it's well acted, and it's worth seeing. Just don't expect greatness. Expect to be entertained, which I guess really at the end of the day, that's what any film should do.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. That's on my list. It's on my very short list. Hopefully I'll catch it this week. I totally agree with you and Rob Marshall. He's the other Rob as we think of him around the office here.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just kind of overrated to me. I didn't really care for Chicago that much. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not the best picture of that year. It's not the best picture of any year. So to me, he's competent. Okay. But hopefully I will have the same reaction to Mary Poppins Returns as you did, because Emily Blunt, like you said, she's fantastic. I'm going to a film a little bit darker than Poppins. Venom. Just a little bit darker. Venom. There was some controversy that Venom was not rated R, that they didn't do a rated R release, that it was only PG-13. There is enough carnage, pun intended, in this film. You don't really need an R-rated version of Venom. I think people would just be... A lot of people would just be grossed out if they went all the way and did an R-rated version of a Venom. There's plenty of gore for a PG-13 film in it. They changed the origin story, which is fine. I don't think it's important how the symbiote arises. No problems there in the adaptation of this. But Tom Hardy, a huge, vast improvement over the person who we first saw play Venom on the screen. Tom Hardy, to me, is fantastic. I think he's an absolutely great actor. And he doesn't really have to flex his acting muscles too much in this movie, but he's still Tom Hardy. He's still very entertaining. He plays Eddie Brock, so that part is still there. And Eddie Brock is still an investigative journalist. In this case, his life is going to hell, and he basically pairs up with Venom through part of his investigations into a corrupt corporation. Imagine a corrupt corporation happening these days. The story plays out really well. Lots of big action scenes. Again, Tom Hardy is excellent. The dialogue between Venom and Hardy, by far the high point of the movie. Very funny. Just great how the two characters interact, because they are definitely two characters. Cast is really good. Michelle Williams stars as his girlfriend for a while, and that shouldn't really be a big spoiler. But they still remain connected. But Tom Hardy and the special effects, definitely the star. Special effects, they pulled it off brilliantly. And did want to mention the director, because a lot of times, especially in movies like this, people just kind of forget, oh, someone directed the movie. We just think of it as the property. So Ruben Fleischer, probably not a name that's going to jump out to you at all. Didn't even jump out to me.
Yeah, that would have to be Ruben Fleischette.
He's the guy who directed Zombieland. If you listen to the show, you probably know about Zombieland. Absolutely hilarious, great movie, 2009, about the aftermath of the zombie apocalypse. If you haven't seen Zombieland, watch Zombieland. But first, watch Venom again. Great action. Tom Hardy is terrific. Definitely sets up for a sequel, which I think it made, what, $900 million worldwide at this point?
A lot.
So again, this is another example of a secondary or even a tertiary character making huge bank for one of the major studios. And in this case, of course, it's Sony, as Marvel, back in its bankruptcy days, sold off Spider-Man and his universe to Sony. But not a great movie by any means, but as Lee had said before, does its job. Absolutely entertaining, much better than the critical reviews. I mean, the critics have basically ripped this thing. I don't know if they were expecting Shakespeare in the Park or what they wanted, but it's a Venom movie. Absolutely does its job. Nails the character far better than what we saw in Spider-Man 3. Really, really fun movie. Highly recommend it.
Something to look for when you're watching this movie, and I didn't catch this until something came out earlier this week and pointed it out, and I went, that's what was wrong with the chase scene that bugged me. When there's a big chase scene with Venom on a motorcycle being chased by guys in Escalades who can somehow catch up with a really fast motorcycle. I haven't figured that part out, and that's not what I'm pointing out, they pass the same theater like 8 times in that chase. I didn't notice it, but
in the quarantine zone, I didn't either.
Just something to look for. It's not something, if you don't, you're not going to notice it. If you do notice it, you're going to go, I just saw that.
Yeah, those escalators handle really well considering that they're keeping up with a motorcycle, which is kind of funny. But it's still a fun scene and definitely a very fun movie.
Oh, yeah. Is it one of your favorites?
Oh, that's a segue, isn't
that's
it?
A segue.
That's nice. So mine is Brave Little Toaster, as I mentioned. It's a metal toaster, basically fueled by coconut bread, becomes king of England in the 18th century. It's well made. No, I'm just kidding. So my my movie is The Favorite. That sounds like a good movie, though. I kind of want to make that movie now. Anyway, it's The Favorite. So it's really, it's got 3 female leads, and they're all really leads. In fact, I think when the Golden Globes come up, they had to break up. They had 1 lead and 2 supporting actresses. And it's funny because the lead that they have is Olivia Colman, who plays Queen Anne. And this takes place in early 1700s. She plays the queen. She has mental issues. Each character in this film, as far as the 3 leads, the ladies, are extremely complex, all different and all out to do different things. But they all want one thing, which is to have a say in what happens with their role. It's all about class system in England. So what happens is Olivia Colman is the queen. Emma Stone, who plays Abigail, is someone who has fallen down hard on her luck, even though she came from wealth at some point, and she's trying to build her way back up into the system. And then Queen Anne's Lady Sarah is played by Rachel Weisz, and the movie starts off Weisz's character and Colman's characters are close. But of course, Emma Stone's character wants to infiltrate the friendship that they have, because she really wants to be close to Queen Anne, because if she's close to Queen Anne, that means she's going to meet somebody, she's going to have wealth, she's going to get back up to where she was. The funny thing is it all sounds, and it don't take your kids to see it, because there's a lot of stuff that happens in this film that they kids should probably not see. The funny thing is it's a comedy. But it's one of those, it's like almost like a Paul Thomas Anderson kind of comedy. So it looks like a drama, it feels like a drama, but then you realize, wait, this isn't a drama, this is a comedy. And the way it ends, if you go to see it and you watch the last 15 seconds of the film and you don't come away with thinking, that's amazing, that's an amazing way to end this film, because people are going to see it and they're going to be like, oh, what was that? And then you realize, that's near genius of a way to end this film. It was directed by Yorgos, I'm going to butcher the name, Lanthimos, who's Greek, who actually directed the Lobster. I don't know if you guys, Todd, you've probably seen The Lobster, right? He also directed The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which came out last year. All those films are good. The Favorite, to me, probably is his best that I've seen, and it really just comes down to how well acted the roles are as far as the 3 female leads. Again, Emma Stone, I thought, came off the screen as the better of the 3, I guess. That's a horrible thing to say because they're all great. But to me, if anybody was going to win an award, it would be Emma Stone, because she's just fantastic in the film. So definitely go see it. Just don't take your kids.
Sounds like a great movie. And actually, all 4 of them this week, we had movies we were recommending to people. Usually it's look at these 2 or 3 or 4 movies, and these 2 are crap. Don't see them. We got 4 good ones this week, starting off on a good note for 2019, which hopefully we can keep it up for the rest of the year, even if Lee doesn't show up. But that's
it. I have 1 more in me for the rest of the year.
Okay.
Around baseball season.
Oh, well, there we are then. Something to look forward to. In the meantime, get out and go see a movie.
Pretty much it.